Hi, everyone. I'm here today with Cheryl Wookey, who is a personal archaeologist. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello, Charlotte. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. So I love this title. Can you explain a little bit about what you do and what that means?
Well, a personal archaeologist to me is a person who has the opportunity to kind of reveal the hidden and do it in a way that is as the personal archaeologist, we're looking at the mental, the emotional, the physical, all those kinds of characteristics. And it's rather like, you know, finding the pieces in a jigsaw puzzle, that it's all there and it's all whole, but we just have the opportunity to kind of unearth it in that way that is the person's focus or on those issues that are somehow they know that something's just not there. It's a hurdle. It's a missing thing. It's a boulder. And so they're just, what's in their way of being their best. Mm-hmm. So that's what personal archaeology is to hold that safe way to uncover things with in kind of a free form matter, being intuitive, being aware of creating that sacred, you know, solid place, because we don't know what's underneath there. Mm-hmm. So it's curious, with curiosity.
I love that. So what is your working premise?
Well, I believe that it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, the jigsaw puzzle, it was whole, complete, and then it got cut up into a lot of pieces. And then over our life, we've created that frame, that structure. And for some people, they have been able to really have most of the interior work filled in. And there may be a piece or two that's hidden or missing, but for the most part, you know, they're pretty got it together. Then there's others of us who we may have had a lot of challenges and dings and dents and different detours along the way. And so we got that frame, but we're really still knowing that there can be more. And so we're not fully in that place of empowerment. And that's what I feel like I've been on my journey for many decades now. And I kind of have clues and methods to get those pieces in a way that is gentle. But it goes into those areas of our unconscious and the places where we sometimes don't want to go by ourselves. But it's like that, the child that sees the monster, if the parent comes in, they're reassured and they can kind of go, and then they realize it wasn't at all of what it appeared. So we can come out strong, unique, and ready to make our own choices.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your history.
Well, my history has been one of those journeys of lots of detours. And I feel like with my history, I had a pretty, now you would say, robustly developing childhood with lots of challenges and opportunities that only in the last 30 years have I really discovered the benefit of having gone through those experiences. Mm-hmm. But because I've gone through those experiences, and some people have heard the term ACE, adverse childhood events, and how those are experiences, and how as an adult, if some of those ACEs, and they don't have to be what we typically think of as traumas, it could be a divorce, it could be a move, it could be something that happened in your childhood, and it was just overwhelming. And in your adulthood, there's like a hole, but you don't know what it is because it wasn't kind of filled in that developmental age. And now, as part of my discovery and wanting to fill, if you will, that frame, I have gone in the path of going from being in corporate kind of America and being in federal and state employment and different kinds of industrial and other kinds of healthcare places, and basically being able to then launch into a kind of a midlife change where I got my master's in acupuncture and oriental medicine in 2003, and have been subsequently on this incredible journey of exploration partly because of continuing education requirements and partly because it's just the way I'm feeling in my frame. So I've become certified in some of the newer technologies like brain spotting. I've been aware of the internal family system structure, constellation work, a lot of the field of consciousness things that are somewhat in the mystery, but it's not, to me, it's very similar to working in the nuclear industry for years. We didn't really know what was happening in the core of the reactor, but we knew the consequences of it. We may not still know what's happening in this incredible body and brain we have, but we recognize the consequences if there's limiting beliefs and things that have been put in that aren't really serving us now as adults.
We I want love to make that analogy. That's a great analogy. So describe for me a typical session.
A typical session would be either by phone, by Zoom or one of the other health modalities, or it can be in person, or it can be in somebody's office. And depending upon the location, it kind of depends upon the toolbox, if you will, that I bring. But it's typically an hour to several hours with more of an immersion program. And in that time, we have it be their focus, their pace, and we explore kind of archaeologically what is ready, what's the next thing to be on their next step of their inspired action that will help them move forward. And it's like building, as I think Andrew Cuomo had it the other day when the people kept asking him, but what's next? And he's like, the next stone on the path across the river is next. Mm-hmm. It's not five stones ahead. And that's the archaeological dig, one step at a time.
I like that. So tell me about what your ideal client looks like or what you draw.
My ideal client is that person who may have tried everything, but they still kind of feel like their frame is empty, or they can be working with a therapist or a coach, and they just kind of get to that plateau, and I get called in as a specialist to kind of give them that little oomph and reveal something, and then they're off and running on by themselves. So I look at myself as more that the surgeon, where I come in and I do that short-term, precise kind of work, and then people go back to their normal support team to continue their journey. So it's typically one or two sessions. It can be more if it's a chronic complex situation, but it's really those people who have the courage to say, I'm willing to be curious. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get rid of anything anymore. I am curious on what is going to be revealed, and I know that I'm trusting another person to be there to hold me and keep that sense of calm presence. And because of, as we described, my various careers and my childhood experience, some of my experiences with my therapeutic journey, I feel like what makes me unique is I can hold the space and I can go into the deepest, darkest spot if the person is willing. It's their choice. It's their focus. And some people choose not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's what is so unique and amazing about you is your ability to go there with somebody as needed and to meet that person where they are, given all the tools you have in your toolbox and your personal experience, which I think many of us, as we start to lead with our heart and become a practitioner in a certain modality, it's often led by our personal experience and that guides us there and allows us to be that practitioner for other people.
Well, and I know that I have done nothing but focus on putting my jigsaw puzzle together for kind of the last number of years, where a lot of people don't have that luxury, if you will, of time. And I believe that now I have those shortcuts to share. Mm-hmm. And I want to share those shortcuts with people who, really want to go forth. And it's not, but it's a choice. It needs to be the choice.
Yeah, and it's an investment, not of money, but of one's personal. I think people have to have a certain level of awareness and desire to dig, where sometimes it can be a little bit painful to build that awareness around yourself and your frame and your puzzle.
Well, and I found that, like, some of my clients that are like the CEOs, they are doing it because they know that the more they're solid, the more they can demonstrate a higher focus and inclusionary leadership style. There's parents who recognize that if they don't have the courage to do their internal work, their limitations may be then perpetuated in the next generation. And then you've got the people who just know that they're bursting into blossom, and they just want to, they're just going to do it.
Right.
So it's really, it doesn't matter what people's motivation is. It's the fact that they have it, the flame and the desire.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find with this, because it's their focus, their pace, and I don't have any agenda, and I'm okay to hold the chaos, mm-hmm. we don't need to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found with some practitioners. They've been so conditioned to, we need to get to a result. We need to get closure. And for me, it's like, there's the saying that says, knowledge is having a knowing. Wisdom is being comfortable in the not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel like, it's being in this comfortable in the not knowing and not needing to get anywhere, but knowing that truly, if the intention is to expand and really build your uniqueness, that is where we're going to be able to then make a contribution as the me into the we,
mm-hmm.
but knowing it's the uniqueness of me that is my to offer.
Right. It's brave to be curious. And I think just going back to the piece of the CEOs, or whether it's a parent, I love both of those, because one, it also speaks to the audience of understanding of some of the people that you might work with more specifically, and that trickle effect. Because as a parent, and speaking as a parent of four, I know, and I'm very aware of the impact I have on my children. And if I'm not willing to look at myself and grow, and know where I can take ownership and be vulnerable with my children, whether it's teaching them what grief looks like as my mother has passed, or, and the same as a leader. You know, if you're choosing to be a CEO of a company, and you want, most CEOs would want their companies to be successful monetarily and other, but if you're not willing to show that vulnerability, it sort of limits our success depending on how you measure that. So I think that's really, I've loved this interview today, because it's been really helpful even for me in just really wrapping up my day on such a positive, light note. So thank you.
And the modeling, what you just described, is nobody, their children don't need you to be perfect. It's the modeling. That's giving the strength. And that is so much what, over the last number of years, it doesn't matter what anybody's socioeconomic development, it doesn't matter what their childhood looked like. It's, and what I recognize, and because, you know, one of my touching places is people who have been trafficked and sexual abuse and that type of thing. And what I have discovered is that the look by an uncle to a child at a vulnerable age can be as damaging as actual physical action,
mm-hmm.
depending upon the vulnerability and so forth. And sometimes it's almost even the imprint is worse, because we have this wonderful adaptive strategies to sometimes, when we're overwhelmed, to kind of dissociate and put that puzzle piece somewhere far away, and it's really out of our memory. Where if it's not quite overwhelming, it lingers almost in the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have found is that is the amazing part of this, is it's all adaptive strategies that we do. And it's a matter of that's the curiosity and recognizing that everybody's journey is theirs and there's no cookie cutter solutions. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I keep saying during this pandemic, my words are be curious. I think I actually posted today about this is, if we have a great pause, this is a time to be curious about what's making you so uncomfortable. Cause I think people are starting to get uncomfortable, but, so I'm so glad I had you today and got to talk to you in this wonderful interview because it's been very thoughtful. So if anybody wants to look more into how Cheryl works and what she does, she's obviously on the site, Cheryl Wookie. So thanks so much.
You're welcome. And it was a great pleasure. And, you know, I just feel like that this has given us a global reset opportunity.
Yep.
And that just like we know one of the great wonders of the world is the terracotta warriors over in China that I got the privilege to see. And I had a photo taken, which was like me in one of the terracotta warriors recreations. It's like we all can have the, you know, fill in our frame and be the most we can be. And with that, we'll all soar. Thank you very much, Charlotte, and for what you do.
Thank you.